Legislation to overhaul Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board, campaign finance laws, and civil service rules are in the hands of the state Senate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 3rd. We will talk with a guest journalist about all three of these measures, plus food stamp-related bills that are expected to pass in the State Assembly today, and we will welcome your questions and your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Steve Walters is our guest. He is senior producer at Wisconsin Eye and a former Madison Bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning.
Joy, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
We will talk about GAB and campaign finance and civil service in just a moment, but tell us about these bills that are in the Assembly today. The Assembly today is expected to pass four bills related to food stamps uses in Wisconsin.
Right. Let's talk about the food stamp program. First of all, let's put it into perspective. If you go to the state website that talks about food share, you'll find that almost 1 in 7 residents qualify for food stamps and participate. In September, those households got an average benefit of $213, and the September food stamp program costs were $82 million. Let me suggest before we talk about the bills up today in the Assembly that one of the reasons that there are these bills up is that the food stamp program in Wisconsin has grown 28% over the last 5 years. You've seen a growth from about 300,000 households or assistance groups, as they're called on the official website, to 385,819 in September. Okay, now let's turn the bills up today. But first, remember that the state budget said if you receive food stamps, you should be drug tested, and if you test positively, you should get help. Well, that's been challenged and held up by a lawsuit. A separate bill passed in the Assembly said you could not buy, and this is their term, junk food.
Right.
Now let's turn to the bills that are up today. They are you would, if you're on the food share program, you would be given a photo ID. Now there's a term that we've debated in Wisconsin for years: photo ID to vote. So the clerk, though, in the grocery store wouldn't have to check it. But still, you would be given it's a way to verify that the person receiving the benefit is indeed who she or he claims.
Let's talk a little bit about that one in particular. Why did Republicans who sponsored this bill think this was necessary?
Well, the Speaker Voss told the Associated Press, what we're trying to do here, the overall goal is to ensure that tax dollars are not wasted and that people who need temporary assistance are getting it. So it's a matter of verifying the identity.
And there's some thought that people are using food stamp or food share at grocery stores that are not the person who entitled to the benefit?
Yeah, there's always that fear.
Yeah.
It's the food. If you go to that website, it's fascinating. As I said, about 1 in 7 Wisconsin residents, 55% of them are female, 45% are male, 58% are adults, 42% are minors. And let's see, 50% of recipients are younger than age 24.
So what's the point, though, Steve, of putting a photo ID on a food share card and then it's not checked anyway?
Well, I think you're laying the groundwork there to get a federal waiver to make it mandatory. I think that may lay the foundation for seeking a federal waiver, saying if you're participating in this program and you're standing in a line in a grocery store, the clerk has to indeed verify that you say who you are.
Uh-huh. Any Democratic objections to this?
Well, I don't expect any Democratic votes for it, just because there's this the Democrats continue to claim that the series of major bills we've seen since 2011 target our low-income residents unfairly.
And Republicans are saying this needs to be done to cut down on fraud, and this is a program that's growing in cost. We need to have some reins in.
Needs accountability.
Yeah.
I think that's the GOP goal here, Joy.
Yeah. All right, so besides the photo ID bill, there are other changes?
Yes. Another one would say that if you're a food share participant, You can receive only 3 debit cards or Quest cards to participate in the program each year. And if you lose, misplace, or claim a 4th card, you would be told that you could be investigated for fraud. And if in 1 year you ask for a 5th Quest card, you would be investigated. That's another bill.
So that's believe, and I'm just presuming that this is because there's a fear that people are selling their cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. And another bill up today. If you don't claim your food share benefits within a specific amount of time, the state could seize those benefits. In other words, lock them up. So you have. The measurement would be how much have you used your food stamp benefits over a 6-month period, and there would be controls, and the state could seize those assets.
Okay.
So those are the 3 food stamp bills. There's also a bill up today on a different subject, although it attacks the issue of credibility in public programs. That would deny unemployment benefits for 7 years to anyone who impersonates, who fraudulently claims that... fraudulently files a claim for unemployment benefits.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Steve Walters, senior producer at Wisconsin Eye. We were talking about a whole boatload of bills in the state legislature right now, talking about some food stamp related bills that are expected to pass in the assembly today, and welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you want to talk about food stamp bills, call now, as we will be moving on to other topics after the news. Mark in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Yes, what is your point?
You know, as for the person who owns the card, sometimes they're disabled and they send a friend or their relative to go to the store for them. So they use their card, get their food, bring them their food back home. Why should only the person who has the card to them be able to use it? They might not be able to get to the store.
Mark, thanks very much for your call. I want to point out that although the photo ID would be issued to the recipients, at the moment there's no plans for forcing them to show it. So I understand your concern, but it seems to me under the initial plan, the recipient would be issued a photo ID, but she or he would not have to show it.
Right. I'm just saying when they get to the point where, you know, the only person who can use the card is the owner, then what if they can't get out of their house, they're homebound, whatever.
Yeah, that's a very valid concern. But that would take mandating showing a photo ID to participate in food stamps would still take a federal waiver, and we're a long way from getting that, sir.
Yeah, I have heard that concern come up, so that could be why they aren't saying in this bill only the person on the
must
buying the stuff. So
right.
That could be the concerns about that could have changed this legislation to not be that specific. Let's take another call from Mary in Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I am glad they're talking about the food stamps. And what irritates me, I'm not discriminating those people, the poor people, but I just, because they're not paying for it. My taxes are paying for it. And also there are people that let other people use their food stamps. And that is being dishonest. The food stamps is supposed to be for food and not for other stuff. I can't believe why can't they use the food stamps for tampons or something like that is necessary. But otherwise, people do sell their food stamps, and
yeah.
I like.
So you're thinking there's a lot of abuse, and you approve of all of the different changes that are being made.
Yes, I am, yeah. And I think that not president, but Governor Thompson, when he was governor, he had the stipulation that they have to get a job after. And I thought that was a good idea.
Thank you very much, Mary. I guess Mary agrees with the changes, and this is, Steve, it's something that Republicans believe is long overdue.
Well, yeah. I just want to point out, Mary, thanks for your call. Earlier, the Assembly passed a bill saying you couldn't buy, and this is their term, junk food with food stamps, and that bill is in the state Senate. I do not know if the Senate's going to act on that bill. So part of your concerns have been addressed, saying, look, no junk food. You have to buy some basic staples that your family needs. So that bill passed the assembly again, and it's pending in the state senate.
We have less than a minute before our news break, Steve. A caller wants to note, are there actual statistics on fraud for food stamps?
It's audited. It's not audited often. I'm sure there's stats, but Joy, I don't have them. Yeah. I should have brought them. Thank you.
No, but all right. In fact, we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back and we'll continue talking about some legislation that is in the state legislature right now. We'll move on from the food stamp related bills that are expected to pass in the state assembly today, and we will talk next about the legislation to overhaul Wisconsin's government accountability board. It has been delayed, and we'll ask Steve why that is. That's coming up after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. The state senate will delay action on overhauling Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board and changing campaign finance laws. We will talk with our guest journalist, Steve Walters, about that next, and we will welcome your questions and reactions. Do you think that the proposed changes to the Government Accountability Board are good or bad for Wisconsin, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How do you feel about allowing campaign limits to be doubled or not requiring donors to say who their employers are? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Steve Walters is the senior producer at Wisconsin Eye, former Madison Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us today to talk about a whole bunch of bills that are being considered by our state legislature. Now, the Assembly, Steve, did pass the overhaul of the Wisconsin Government Accountability Board and the changes to campaign finance laws.
That's right.
But they are being held up in the state Senate. First, before we go into the details of each of these bills, why the Senate yesterday announced that they're not taking these bills up this week anyway.
Well, actually, the Senate said we're not going to meet today on Tuesday.
Okay.
And they're going to caucus. The Senate GOP senators are going to caucus to try to resolve some of these outstanding issues on both the GAB bill and the campaign finance bill. So the Senate has reserved the right to come in maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, although one senator, Senator Roger Roth, is on active duty this week. And so he's not available. So if they can't achieve a consensus and they need his vote, they may push it into next week.
I see. So they could come. They could resolve their differences in this caucus
as early as today and call a Senate session for Wednesday or Thursday.
What are their differences?
Well, the Assembly passed the GAB, the bill abolishing GAB, 58-29. And let's go back. In 2007, there was a consensus that the previous elections and ethics boards were not very effective. So they said, let's create a super agency to regulate campaign finance, ethics, and elections laws. And they said, let's have retired judges who have stood for elections serve on that. So we've had this, and the GAB kicked in January 1 of 2008. And they have been operating. And then in the last, the storms of the John Does that investigated the governor and his supporters, and some of the actions related to John Does, some of the decisions on when to schedule recalls in 2011 and 2012 have got GOP leaders saying this has been a rogue agency. And so they want to go back to creating separate elections and ethics boards and abolish the GAB. Some of the Republican senators are concerned about the makeup of these elections and ethics panels, and quite frankly, groups like Common Cause, the League of Women Voters, have asked residents in the districts of Senators Harsdorf, Moulton, Petrowski, Olson, Markline, Tiffany, Coles, and Gudex to say, let's not blow up the GAB.
And why those particular senators?
Well, Senator Tiffany is up for re-election next year. Senator Gudex is also up, although he's not officially said he's going to seek re-election. Senator Olson, Senator Coles, and Senator Harsdorff are up for re-election next year. And so there is a perception that this would be a bad vote that might come back to haunt them in the 2016 elections.
Yeah. And are those senators expressing concern that they don't think that we need to blow up the GAB?
Well, last week, Senators Tiffany and Markline told the State Journal that, hey, there's no need to rush this until we get it right, which is a way of saying we're not there yet. We're not ready to vote for the changes passed by the Assembly.
Yeah. Well, we have some callers, so let's go to Todd in Green Bay. Hi, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I'm really in favor of abolishing the GAB. I think several of the things that they didn't do were pretty telling, and that was they did not purge the voter rolls of deceased voters and ineligible voters and others that have moved out of state, et cetera. And they also did not do the verify the accuracy of the voting machines. Those were some of their primary concerns and responsibilities, and yet they didn't do them. On the other hand, they found all kinds of time to get involved in recall elections and electioneering on state time and getting involved with the Milwaukee district attorneys.
Todd, I'm only jumping in because your telephone line is so scratchy, it's kind of hard to hear, and it's a little bit annoying. but we heard you that the GAB, Todd says, got involved with the John Doe investigation, unrightly so, he thought, and the recall election when they should have been doing these other things. So what's your response to that,
Todd,
Steve?
Thanks for your call. The GAB has been the subject of two audits, which pointed up some of these problems that you alluded to early in what you said. In terms of the recalls, the law clearly said there was only one institution in Wisconsin state government that had to deal with the recalls, and that was an unprecedented number of recalls: governor, lieutenant governor, state senators. That was just an amazing period in Wisconsin's political history. Then you had local prosecutors coming first to the attorney general, then J.B. Van Hollen. Would you help us with the John Does? J.B. Van Hollen said no for political reasons, so they then went to the GAB. GAB said, gee, we were created because of the perception that the previous elections and ethics boards didn't really get involved in the caucus scandal in the era of 1999 to 2002. So we believe we have an obligation to get involved in the John Does. I'm not saying that was right. I'm saying that's a position taken by the GAB.
And let me just jump in, because the caucus scandal involved state politicians, state workers working on state time.
Purely
for
partisan
campaigns. Yeah.
Yes, it involved all four parties did it. Mm-hmm. House Democrats, Assembly Republicans, Assembly Democrats, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans, all had state workers doing nothing but political partisan jobs, seeking candidates, fundraising, recruiting candidates, and that is illegal. And you had some former political leaders in the legislature go to jail.
And so you're saying that the GAB was created in part because of that, and that was probably influenced the decision of getting involved in the John Doe, which was investigating similar things.
Right, right. Know? And the GAB said, we believe that we must get involved in John Doe's. You're right, Todd. They got very heavily involved. And one of the results is the bill passed the Senate, passed the Assembly, pending in the Senate, that would abolish the GAB and go back to the old elections and ethics boards with the members handpicked by leaders of both the Assembly and Senate.
Yeah, and a bill that did pass both the Senate and the Assembly and was signed by Governor Walker would stop the investigation using the John Doe to investigate those types of political crimes.
That's true.
Or political activities.
Yes, and the governor signed a bill that would abolish, that would say no longer could, we're going to continue on John Does, but John Does, which are begun by local prosecutors, could only focus on violent crimes and could not investigate political crimes. Now, the Democrats said it's what you've just passed is a political protection act. And the Republicans said, no, we're not making any investigation illegal. You can use grand juries. And we're not telling any prosecutor to not investigate any politicians. You just can't use John Doe's to investigate political issues.
And so maybe you could just let us know, Steve, we have Republicans who, like Todd, are saying, hey, this GAB was being very partisan, wasn't doing what it should have been doing, and was doing things it shouldn't have been doing, so therefore we're going to change it, and we're going to get rid of it, essentially. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to go back to have ethics, six-member ethics and elections panels, with the commissioner of each of those panels have to be confirmed by the Senate. So what you're seeing here is leaders of the Senate, GOP leaders of the Senate and the Assembly, going back to hand-picking members of the panels. It's deja vu. As Yogi said, we're going back to pre-2007.
And the Democrats are saying, no, don't blow up the GAB, because it is a model for the nation and it is nonpartisan, and that's their story.
I commend you, Joy. You've read their press releases. Yeah, that's what the Democrats are saying. In fact, the chairman of the GAB, former Judge Gerald Nickel, I interviewed on Wisconsin Eye, and he said, we're getting abolished because we stood up and we did our jobs.
Yeah. Greg in Pewaukee asks, had the John Doe investigation not resulted in people going into homes, I guess the search warrants, would this bill have been proposed at all?
I think it still would have, but the invasion of what the Republicans say is the gross invasion of privacies and invading homes, telling teenagers you can't call a lawyer, you can't call your parents, you can't discuss this. I still think the bill abolishing GAB would have come up, but those examples of those targeted by the John Does certainly has given momentum to the push to blow up the GAB.
Charles on Facebook says, the pace of these bills, slowed by dissent within the Republican majority, is reason for hope. It appears that even some Republicans are beginning to feel uneasy about the administrative concentration of power, vindictive retaliations, and the self-protecting of decriminalization of ethically questionable election tactics being pushed by the Walker administration. Is there some dissent within the Republican majority for these measures?
I wouldn't use the word dissent. I would use the word concern. Concern in that there's a concern, are we pushing too much change over too quick a period?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Maddie in Wapaka. Hi, Maddie.
Hello. Yes, I wish the reporters, every time they talk about this, would report how many people were found guilty. There were a number of people found guilty that were connected to Governor Walker.
All right. What about there were people found guilty in John Doe?
There were, when Governor Walker was a Milwaukee County executive, some of his aides were found guilty, Maddie. You're right. But Governor Walker has been governor since January of 2011. And those found guilty go back to when he was Milwaukee County executive.
Let's go to Tom in Middleton. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. My comment is that I don't think we're hearing enough about the positive things that the GAB has done and has offered to our municipal clerks and to our poll workers. My wife and I were chief inspectors at one of the polls in Middleton, and we were able to call right to the GAB if there are any questions. And we were unable to get our clerk, or if we got our clerk and she had a question, she could contact the GAB. I think that's an important thing that I think we're going to lose without this, without the GAB.
With the separation of panels into election and ethics, would that be gone, Steve?
No, you would still have investigations done by the new Ethics and Elections Board, but if they found any evidence of criminal conduct, they'd have to turn it over to local DAs. Your point is well taken. One of the things that strikes me, having watched the GAB since it was created January 1 of 2008, is a number of things they've had to handle. They've had to handle a photo ID 2 and 3 times. That photo ID was reinstated for a spring election. Then it was voided again. Now it's back permanently. They've had to compile a master voting list. They've had to deal with a record number of recalls. And then they made a decision to get actively involved in the John Doe. So these retired judges who set policy for GAB have had an awful lot on their plate since the GAB was created in January of 2008. They have not wanted for things to do, one controversy to another.
Let's, before our next newscast, talk about this other bill that would change Wisconsin's campaign finance laws. Assembly Republicans passed the bill 61-0 because Democrats recused themselves from voting on it. Recap for us what this legislation does for campaign finance changes.
I'm just going to hit the highlights. First of all, our campaign finance laws and the current limit saying you could only give $10,000 to a candidate for governor or statewide office, Supreme Court justice. These laws have not been rewritten since the 1970s in the post-Watergate era. So you have, in the wake of Citizens United, in the wake of these the federal and state court rulings in the John Doe's, you have a very large package of campaign finance changes, which, as you said, passed the assembly 61-0, and the Republicans said, well, it passed unanimously, but that was because all Democrats invoked, we have a conflict of interest, and so we are going to not vote on this issue. Some of the major changes, as I said, it doubles how much can be donated to specific candidates. So let's say candidates for governor, right now you can only give $10,000, that goes to $20,000, that doubles. It removes the most limits on donations to parties, legislative campaign committees. It allows candidates and issue advocacy groups, to coordinate activities. And it's important to differentiate between an issue ad, which says, call Senator Smith and tell him he's doing a good job, or call Senator Smith and tell him they're doing a bad job, and express ads, which say, vote for Senator Smith, vote against Senator Smith. It also says it can, right now, if you give more than $100, you must list your employer. The bill pending in the Senate says you only has to list what you do for a living. And it allows parties to get unlimited donations from corporations, but the money cannot go to candidates. And that's a big deal. I mean, we have had a ban on corporations and businesses donating, and this bill would let them to donate not directly to candidates. And it would let groups running express ads within 60 days of votes, they would have to disclose their spending. This campaign finance package, they always amaze me, because you never know which loophole is going to be exploited and loom large in the next election. Let's go back to McCain-Feingold. It was passed to do one thing, and then third-party groups, you had just an explosion of things that were not anticipated.
Yeah, we have just a minute or so before news break. Does this just codify what courts have said when it comes to campaign finance? So this is just making Wisconsin law adhere to what the courts have already said?
Well, to a large extent, but I was struck by what Representative John Jagler said on the floor of the Assembly when the Democrats were railing against this package. John Jagler stood up and said, your gripe is not with us, it's not with the Republicans, it's with the U.S. Supreme Court and the Citizens United ruling.
Yeah. In our minute before news, the State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that some members of his caucus have cold feet about this, especially doubling donation limits. That's what the caucus will try to work out today.
Yeah, and both these things travel together. Abolishing the GAB and campaign finance, both passed by the Assembly, so they're one vote away from the governor's desk. But you have concerns about the amount of change, too much change, and some of the details.
All right. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then when we come back, We will move on to another issue, another big issue before the state legislature and before the state Senate. The assembly did pass changes to Wisconsin's civil service system for state employment. We'll talk about how that fares in the state Senate after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about a number of big bills before the state legislature. We've already talked about food stamp-related bills that are expected to pass in the state assembly today. We just talked about legislation to overhaul Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board and campaign finance laws that are going to be caucused today in the state Senate to try to resolve differences. And now let's talk about civil service rules. The civil service system in Wisconsin for state employment is being overhauled, or at least a proposed overhaul. A bill to overhaul the civil service system passed in the state assembly and is now awaiting Senate action. We'll talk more about this bill in this segment, and we'll welcome your questions and views on this. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think the state is better off replacing the civil service exams with a resume-based system? Do you think that the civil service system needs some changes or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Steve Walters is our guest, senior producer at Wisconsin Eye and a former Madison bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. All right, so the civil service system. What is that, Steve?
Well, it was passed in 1905, and it would it offers procedures and practices both for hiring and administering those that work in state service. It's a system that some say offer protections for people so they can't get fired for political reasons. So it's a system of establishing standards for hiring and disciplining. And Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinecke and Senator Roth, who's off on active duty, say it's desperately in need of overhaul on both the hiring and the firing end. And so the bill does many things. As you said, it would abolish civil service exams and replace that with resumes. It would establish a goal of hiring within 60 days. The first 30 days, you publicize the job opening, and the second 30 days is their goal. You find finalists and make a hire.
What was wrong with the civil service exam, or what is wrong with it, according to the authors of this bill?
Well, I talked to somebody yesterday who has applied for different state jobs, and he's taken like two or three different civil service exams, and he said that it's just not a very effective way to hire. And Majority Leader Steinecke and Senator Roth say a much better system is a resume system.
Yeah. There was an example that was being used a lot that, for example, a short order cook took the civil service exam and then scored very high on some financial thing.
I actually did an interview on that with Ray Allen, who's the Secretary of the Department of Financial Institutions, and he said, yeah, that happened in our agency. The civil service exam told us that we had to interview a short order cook for a job that would examine the financial, how financially secure different institutions are, credit unions. And he said that person was obviously not qualified. But still, the civil service test made them interview a short order cook for that job.
But there was a news story based on an open records request that couldn't deliver any evidence of that particular situation.
You're talking about the State Journal story, I think, on Sunday. All I know is what Ray Allen told me.
What he said he was being told to interview a short order cook.
He had direct knowledge of that situation.
Yeah. And so that's one story of how maybe an unqualified person can score high on a test.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
another
example cited by both Steinecke and Roth is a someone in the Department of Corrections who was found to be watching porn an average of 4.2 hours a day. And Another important thing is the bill does is it's just, I find it pretty incredible that we had no definition of just cause for firing a state employee or disciplining a state employee. So this would lay out specific grounds for just cause.
Does it need to be? And some people have brought up that case of a state employee that was watching porn and was unable to be fired. And detractors or critics of this legislation say, well, no, that's just a bad manager or a lazy manager. The guy could have been fired.
Well, the worker appealed, saying, "Hey, I was never explicitly told that doing this activity, watching porn, is grounds for dismissal." And I guess
so now it'll be the just cause will say watching porn is just cause
along with theft, along with harassment. Yeah. So it'll lay out specific standards that can get you fired if you're in state service.
All right. So they're changing. They say that the test is not a good gauge of good applicants,
right.
And it's it takes too long to
hire. Yeah. They're saying we cannot make a hiring decision for 6, 7, or 8 months, and someone qualified who we need to work in state service has already got another job by then.
Yeah, and it would make it easier, easier to fire, in that if just cause is listed and you did that, you're not going to be able to appeal it and stay on the job.
Right, and right now they say appeals of dismissals or other disciplinary actions can go for 12, 16, 18 months.
Yeah. Any other big changes then in the legislation? Right now,
every agency is in charge of hiring its own, and this would consolidate the hiring process in the State Department of Administration. Remember, it's nicknamed the Department of All, John?
Yep, and that is a concern of critics who say that the Department of All in the Walker administration will somehow maybe influence political friends and neighbors in this system now.
The Democrats oppose this bill because they say you're introducing even more cronyism. But let's also talk about, do we have time to talk about the difference between the houses on Ban the Box?
Yes, we do. We do have some callers.
Okay,
but yeah, so Ban the Box is in this legislation that passed the Assembly.
Okay, now the issue here is when you apply for a state job, should you be asked if you've ever been convicted or arrested? And the bill passed by the Assembly, Leader Steinicke said, "I feel very strongly the box should be banned. Check this box if you've been arrested or convicted." But in the Senate, Republican Senator Steve Noss said, "I feel very strongly that we should retain the box."
And that's was that Ban the Box put in there to garner some Democratic of a support? Or
no, I think I've been to a couple of press conferences here with Steinicke, and he really believes that people deserve a second chance.
And this is that means that an employer cannot look at a box that says I've been convicted of a crime in the past. You need to interview that person,
yes.
Even if they might have been convicted of a crime in the past,
yes.
If they're qualified. Yeah.
Yes.
So does Stephen Noss control this issue? Or?
Well, he's a key player. He's offered a different version of the Assembly passed bill that would bring the box back. And Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said, look, we're wrestling with GAB and campaign finance reform. Civil service is something we can't get to until January.
Ah.
So that's on the back burner temporarily in the Senate.
Let's take some calls on this. So we have Larry in Middleton. Hi, Larry.
Good morning. I'm critiquing the hiring stage of this proposed legislation. Studies show that people often lie on their resumes, and I doubt that there would be much effort made to investigate these applications when their party loyalty is more important. All hiring of state employees would be under a political appointee who, in turn, was a political appointee of the governor. For present purposes, that means if you signed the recall petition, you're not going to get the job. But the Democrats would play this game, too. They would be awarding jobs based on patronage. So it would totally corrupt the state in terms of hiring. Thank you.
Larry, thanks for your call. To speak to one point, yes, the bill would consolidate hiring in a division of the State Department of Administration, and the Secretary of the Department of Administration, as you know, is an appointee of the governor. But this month starts my 28th year in our Capitol, and here's what I've seen. Former aides to governors on both sides, R&Ds, if they're boss, their governor is leaving office, they take a civil service test and they get a civil service job, so they kind of burrow down. So they're so they have gone from being servant will political appointees of a governor, both R&D, and then they take a civil service test and end up in a civil service job protected for the rest of their careers. I'm just saying I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying I've seen it happen on both sides. But to your point, yes, hiring would be consolidated in a division of the Department of Administration. And as you know, the DOA secretary is appointed by the governor, sir.
Let's go next to Mike in Franklin. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Yes, my question is along the same lines, or my comment. But here's what would bother me. All of a sudden, Scott Walker's kids could put in their resume, and are they going to get a job ahead of other qualified people? Because the person looking at these jobs, okay, happens to be, an appointee of Governor Walker.
Yeah, what's in place to make sure that favoritism or patronage doesn't happen, Steve?
Well, yes, Governor Walker's sons could apply for a job, but Governor Doyle's sons, Gus and Gabe, could have, and Governor Thompson's two daughters and son could have. So there's always been. Any governor can appoint a few dozen appointees to run the state agencies and his or her personal staff. So there's always been a part of that. And the untested issue is, if these changes pass, will it incur more of what the Democrats say is cronyism? And I wish I knew the answer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We have just a minute to go. Let's kind of recap here, especially what's happening in the state Senate. This particular civil service system change is being put on the back burner. The Senate takes it up next year.
Yes, in January.
But this week they are caucusing on the campaign finance and the government accountability change. And yes. What do you predict is going to happen there?
I think the top priority of Republican leaders in the Capitol is the bill that would abolish the Government Accountability Board. There's just so much animus in the wake of the John Does and the perceived outrageous conduct by the GAB in terms of getting involved in the John Does, the extent of getting involved in the John Does. I'm going to predict that GAB passes. I am less clear about campaign finance reform because the focus right now in the state Senate is on GAB.
15 seconds. Is there anything else that you'll be watching in the legislature in the very near future, something that we haven't talked about?
Well, Joy, let's just say that Senator Strobel is coming out with changes to the workman's comp bill. Wisconsin, yep. 100 years ago, was a pioneer in workers' comp. We haven't seen the bill.
And we will follow up on that if he does introduce it. Thank you for being here.
Joy, thanks very much. It's my pleasure.
Steve Walter, senior producer at Wisconsin Eye.